ego's greatest fear. This leads us eloquently to recognizing Ego Commission 1's greatest fear. Recall the metaphor of Adam's rib. Ego, none other than ego, was created, was given sole responsibility for ensuring that the individual human being it is serving, A, is always physically safe, B, is always psychically safe, that is, sane, and C, always has its bearings. It knows who, what, when, and where it is. If ego ever fails at any of these, the person it is serving is endangered physically and or in their psychic orientation in the world. They are lost. You may have experienced this. Ego is therefore on 24/7 watchtower lookout for its perception of the person's well-being. Existential fear. Even more profound is this. As we gain the trust of ego, it reveals to us its deepest fear, that it will be criticized at the core of its being, humiliated and thus shunned, that it will be misperceived as redundant, useless and thus rejected, fired, unemployed, that it will lose or never gain its true sense of belonging, that it will be eternally cast out. Ego's greatest fear has always been this, that it will be annihilated, that it will be destroyed. This deeply rooted fear is why ego's reconnection with soul is so essential. And so how does it respond to this self-made fear, to its predominant pulse, its most often thought? Ego ensures that it is always busy, always active, always providing its perception of greatest value to the human being it is serving. In its limited state, ego, grasping for assurance, for certainty of its worth, when this is never actually questioned other than by it, begins to spin. It circles around and around and around again. It creates perceptions of danger from which to protect the person. It creates uncertainty and confusion as to identity in order to reassert its definition of who the person is. It creates worry and fear that the person may not be valuable to society, in order to reassert its value by ensuring that the person's life does have meaning. These are the major causes of your stress. Ego makes work. Unbeknownst to it, it will never be fired. There is an illustrious, gleaming, one-of-a-kind new role awaiting it. It has never, ever, ever been judged by soul. It has done an absolutely miraculous job in its first commission. Its second commission is the polar shift. And as if this isn't enough to celebrate, even if it were fired, which it is not and never will be, there is nowhere for it to fall out to. If ego were to completely surrender, to let go, and this is, in fact, our goal, it would be completely reabsorbed into the loving realm that surrounds it, the infinite realm of soul. There is no out. There is no other. There is no opposite to the realm of soul. Therein lies the illusion. What ego perceives dualistically to be its antagonist is precisely what envelops it, the infinite world of soul. It is not separate. Soul inherently contains ego. It embraces it. It ultimately cocoons it. It is only from ego's perspective that an illusion of soul as opposite to, combative with, ego can possibly arise. What if ego understands that there is nothing to fear? That there is absolutely no risk that it will ever be cast out, that it will never be judged, that it will never be punished, that it will never not belong. Ego recognizing that its greatest fear is not, evidenced by the end of its reign of fearing soul, God, the unknown, the forgotten, which marks the end of fear itself, is the catalytic basis of a monumental paradigm shift. This is gargantuan. You might consider reading this again. Ego recognizing that its greatest fear is completely unnecessary. Imagine the expanse of energy that this single realization frees up. As ego makes this paradigm shift simply by dissolving its fear, life will not be the same. War, greed, strife, suffering, confusion, toil, turmoil, all of these manifestations of ego's illusion of its separateness from soul will be a thing of the past. This is the inherent power in the polar shift. If your ego is anxious, feeling unable to surrender because it is in fear right now, relax. This is precisely what we'll turn our attention to in Chapter 3, Tools for Emptying Out the Past, and later chapters. Comfort, discomfort, comfort. We are exploring epical territory here, so let's bring it down, anchor it, ground it, root it, and make day-to-day meaning of what this implies. Every time you, your ego, meets something new, an idea, a person, an attitude, a possibility, a place, a sensation, anything, it is challenged with this continuum. Your ego likes to live in what it refers to as comfort. Comfort is more accurately defined as familiarity, since what is often deemed comfortable by your ego is not actually comfortable. Contemplate this for a moment. What does your current comfort zone, what you can easily accept and allow with minimal, if any, resistance, include? Add elements from your personal life, professional life, family life, health, fitness and diet, social circles, entertainment choices, geography of residence, climate of residence, frequency of travel, etc. What do you currently describe as being within your comfort zone? If you pay close attention, you may notice that not all of this is actually comfortable to you. And if it is not comfortable to you, what then is it? It is familiar. The premise, therefore, of ego's dominion is familiarity, not comfort. Why is this so significant? Ego believes in the depth of its inner self-perception that, in order to do its best by having the highest likelihood of assuring your physical and psychic safety, your sanity, it is more logical to keep you in territory that it is familiar with. It's a rational argument, yes? If you were commissioned with being a physical bodyguard or a psychic shaman to someone, would you not err on the side of staying in territory that is familiar to you? Would you not assume that your chances are higher of being successful at your task if you stay in territory that you already know, rather than explore something new to you? This is the very premise via which your ego limits you. This exposes damage control, the justification of acceptable damage. I will stress again here, for it is so very important to our journey, which is ultimate resolution and thus a return to utter harmony and mutual respect in our relationship with our egos, that ego has been innocent in this misperception. It has made logical conclusions, and it has based its entire career on these assumptions, resulting in your limitation, yes, and yet this is not ego's fault. True, it has been ego commissioned one's weakness, perhaps. More aptly, it has been ego commissioned one's design weakness. Yet ego is not to blame. As you better understand your ego, you will begin to love your ego in ways our human culture has never engendered in you. You will lay down your ego bashing, no matter to what degree you have been naively swept up in this, and you will love and honor and respect your ego. Ego's redesign, its commission too, will enable this essential healing as its reason for being is upgraded. Before we delve into the fascinating realm of this polar shift, let's get hands-on with how you can assist your ego to become at ease with what it doesn't immediately recognize, as this is the root of its experience of discomfort. Let's assist ego to swiftly gain confidence in relation to what appears to it to be less familiar. Let's eradicate ego's fear and thus its pain. Fear is what needs to be extinguished, not ego. This is crucial in mobilizing ego to shift.